Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then the lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the expert in the law asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, and when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by. But a Samaritan while traveling came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you have spent.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated. I invite the children to go out to the creation station if they choose. Well, as I was writing the sermon, I've discovered that maybe I've been spending too much time with my confirmation students. When we gather together in the evenings, we often play a little bit of "Would you rather" to check in. You know, I'd ask a question, or Lucas would ask the question, "Would you rather fly in a spaceship or for the rest of your life, or be in a submarine?" And generally, this is a black and white game. You'd either want to fly in a spaceship or... But one of the greatest joys the confirmation students have is trying to come up with loopholes to get out of those choices. "Well, I'd want to be in the submarine during the day, and I'd like to be in the rocket ship at night. Or I want to be in the submarine because then I could go out and swim." And help me out, Tyler. What's a loophole here? Would you rather be go in a rocket ship or go in a submarine for the rest of your life? Oh, come on. You always have loopholes. He does. Believe me. He always has loopholes. So do they all. As I was preparing for this week's sermon, my attention was drawn to the legal expert who was searching for the loophole. "Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life?" Now, Jesus responded in his typical way to a question like this with another question. "What is written in the law?" And the legal expert responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself." I imagine with a little pride. And Jesus answers, "You are right. Do this, and you shall live." Then here it is, the quest for the loophole. "But Jesus, who is my neighbor?" Now, Jesus, without skipping a beat, tells a story. It's a story that we're all familiar with, and it's a classic Sunday school story with a lovely message: love your neighbor. A man gets beaten up and left for dead by a band of robbers, and the priest walks and sees the beaten man and walks on the other side of the road. Then a Levite walks by and sees the man and does what he needs to do to avoid the beaten man. And then a Samaritan, the least likely person to help a Jewish man. He sees the beaten man, but he sees more than the wounds. He sees more than his ethnicity, more than the stereotypes, more than the prejudices. He sees the one in needs, humanity. He sees the one in needs, value. And he's moved to compassion to do more than see and shake his head and look away. He sees more than to just wring his hands in fear and apathy. He not only sees, he's moved to action. He's moved to do something. Let's listen to what the Samaritan did, and I want you to listen for the action words. Let's count them as we go. The Samaritan traveling down the road came upon him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid. He disinfected and bandaged his wounds. He lifted him on his donkey. He led him to an inn. He cared for him. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill, and I will pay you back." The Samaritan did more than just see. He did more than just have compassion. The Samaritan did something. And after Jesus tells the story, he asks this question: which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? The legal expert replied, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." Once again, Jesus answers a question with a question. And maybe an implied question. Will you choose to be a neighbor? Now, it's easy to gloss over this. It's easy to say, "Oh, this is just a nice Sunday school story," and gloss over these questions. But I want to bring this into the context of the world today. In 2012, I led a group of 130 youth and adults, think 3 charter buses, to the National Youth Gathering in New Orleans. And it was on this trip that the Good Samaritan took a different twist for me. When I was on this trip, I became painfully aware of the character that is often overlooked in the story. And how easily it is to find ourselves in that role. So the great big 3 charter buses pulled in for a meal in Mississippi. We pulled into the parking lot with our church shirts on, and we caused quite a bit of attention in a very white Bible Belt city. And we had some very interesting and thought-provoking conversations begin. As residents walked up to us wanting to know where we were from and where we were going with all these good Christian kids. We said we were from Minnesota and we were heading to New Orleans. At that point, the group that we were conversing with responded with very puzzled looks on their faces. "You can't take good Christian kids down there. What are you thinking? New Orleans is full of sinners." Well, we explained that our group was along with approximately 30,000 others. We're going down for a youth gathering, a time of worship and learning. And at this point, we were going down to provide some serious support for Katrina relief. At that point, those holding conversations responded, "Well, they deserved what they got." We surely think there are better places for you to take your good Christian young people. It's dangerous down there. Aren't you afraid of what the youth are going to be exposed to? You should make other plans. They were disappointed and even kind of angry with us when we told them that we were continuing to New Orleans. They asked if they could pray for us, and we said sure. And so we all gathered in a circle and closed our eyes. And as they prayed, this was their prayer. Lord God, we pray that the leaders of this group, that their eyes may be opened and their minds see clearly before they put these impressionable youth and each other in such spiritual darkness and danger. We adults thank them for their prayer. After a supper, we gathered back to our buses, and many of the other adults shared similar stories. We headed to New Orleans, and our eyes were open. As we participated in service day, we met some amazingly resilient and faithful people. We heard stories from those in the Fourth Ward as they shared stories of not being able to leave. If they had a means to leave, they had no place to go. And even if they had a means and a place to go, they weren't allowed to leave. Because roads and access roads were so full, they could not get out. Then on our service day, we also experienced something that reminded us how fast things could change, how fast water comes up. We were doing our service day, and there was a torrential storm, and torrential rains came in. We were within our bus, in our bus, within 3 minutes. 2 minutes later, we were driving away, and the water was halfway up the wheel wells in our bus in 5 minutes. That evening, we processed the day with our group, and we all came to understand some of the issues that caused Hurricane Katrina to have such a devastating impact. We heard stories of real people, yes, sinners, just like us, saved by grace, yes, like us. We heard their stories and we shared their humanity. Our theme at the gathering that day was the Good Samaritan. And that story got us thinking about the legal expert asking and challenging Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Trying to find that loophole. And as we discussed this in our small groups, we discovered something. This story brought us back to what we experienced in this moderate-sized town in Mississippi. May have indicated the reason for the delay in aid. Think about it. If there was a crisis here in Minnesota, who would be there to help us? Our friends in Iowa? Our friends in Wisconsin? Our friends in North and South Dakota? They'd be here to respond in a tragedy. They didn't have to travel across the United States. They'd just cross over the borders. This didn't happen in New Orleans. We also discovered that we need to be careful on how we judge the legal expert and those church people. Because if we were honest, there are times when we too let our own assumptions, prejudices, stereotypes, or judgment get in the way of helping and loving our neighbors. So that story was 2012. Here we are in 2025. I invite you to take a moment and think of those in our world, in our nation, in our community, who are left on the side of the road, battered by prejudice, by racism, by violence, poverty, hunger, and injustice. Who are our neighbors? We are called to love. The real question in this text really isn't about who is our neighbor. There's really two. Will you and I choose to be a neighbor? And how will we be a neighbor to those in need? Go and do likewise.